right, guys, welcome to a brand new episode of SideQuest Podcast. Listen in and level up. I have a great episode for you today, but first, as always, let's get through the show notes. If you're not following the Facebook page, head over to Facebook, type SideQuest Fitness into the search bar, and like the page. There, you're going to get updates on podcast episodes, articles when they get posted, and you're going to get a brand new taco recipe every Tuesday for Taco Camp, plus lots of other shenanigans and nerd talk throughout the week. So make sure you head over to Facebook. You can follow me on Instagram. My handle is SideQuestFM. If you want to see some cool videos and random stuff on Instagram as well, you can follow me on Instagram. Same handle, SideQuestFM. Or follow me on Snapchat, SideQuestFit. Follow me there. Send me your questions. I want to get all the questions from you, help you as much as I can on your fitness journey or your journey in life, whatever it may be. But head over to Snapchat, SideQuestFit. Follow me there. You get a little more personal, in-depth look at the shenanigans I get into throughout every day. But I do love getting questions from the community, so please send them out to me. If you have not left a review for the podcast, please head over to iTunes. If you're not listening on iTunes and you listen on SoundCloud or Stitcher, leave a review there as well. When you leave reviews, it helps me move up the charts on the iTunes store so that more people can see and hear the amazing guests that I've had on and have on each and every single week. So make sure you head over there. And don't forget, if you haven't picked up your copy of the 7 Principles of Fat Loss, head over to sidequestfitness.com/7principles, and you can pick up your copy of the 7 Principles of Fat Loss. These are the same 7 principles I follow each and every day and teach my clients to help them shred away more body fat, unlock heroic strength, and just look better naked. So if you want to unlock strength or just look better naked in the mirror, head over again, grab those 7 principles of fat loss, and start following those today. All right, guys, welcome to the show. I have a great guest for you today. If you have ever gone to YouTube to look up an exercise to get tips on form, or maybe you were just looking for some new bicep curls, you have probably, actually no, more than likely, I'm 100% certain, seen a video from this week's podcast guest. The one and the only Scott Herman of Scott Herman Fitness comes on the show and we geek the fuck out. We go into fitness, we go into life and superheroes, anime, Dragon Ball Z, Zelda, Nintendo. We just nerd out and have a really great time. But what you might not know about Scott is how he got his start in fitness, how he ended up going from being a fitness model to getting on The Real World Brooklyn on MTV a few years ago, and then now what he's done to become one of the first YouTube guys to put fitness content out there and make a living and a life off of YouTube. Scott's a great dude, and I really enjoyed getting to chat with him. So I want you guys to enjoy this episode with Scott Herman of Scott Herman Fitness.
Step up and you gotta get it fitness. Host Rob at the moment, and the quest is you gotta check it and wreck it. You're breaking personal records, and with the help of the guests, you won't be guessing on the lessons. That's a plus 5 fierce. Got a low key bamf right here. You wanna meet him, there's no better way to greet him than to strike a boss pose. Take a look into the mirror.
All right, guys, welcome to the episode. I have a great guest for you today. If you have ever gone to Google or YouTube and looked for an exercise because you've wanted some tips on form, you have probably seen, I'm 100% certain you have seen or gotten tips from my guest today. The one and the only Scott Herman is my guest today on the podcast. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Robbie. What's shaking?
Oh, not a whole lot. We did a little chatting beforehand, so my guest will enjoy our geek out here in a little bit. But Scott, you are the guy that I know I have sent my clients when they have questions on videos, because I'm like, I could film the video. I could film a whole library, but Scott Herman's got everything you ever need. So I've sent them a couple of links to your stuff. And I know, you know, my friends have asked me questions and I've used your stuff on YouTube. So you're kind of like the exercise guy. That's really what kind of got you into the YouTube culture. And I know you've got everything. You're still updating and going back and making things even better than the old days. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for being one of the first to like put everything out there and then now going back and, you know, making the quality even better.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, some somebody has to do it. And right now, YouTube Fitness seems to be turning more towards like who can be the biggest jackass on camera. And I feel like now more than ever, you know, we really need to, and I'm actually actively searching for people too that are really trying to put out content that's actually going to help you reach your goals. Like, I don't need to watch videos on how to meet girls at the gym. Like, I already got that down. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you want to go to the gym, you want to get in shape, man. You don't want to have to be worrying about all this other stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we got bro science for some comedy. Not everyone can be. We got that. Dom's already handled that.
Yeah, Dom already has that covered. We don't need any more, you know?
So I've read your backstory, you know, but for guests who don't know, just the quick TLDR, how did you sort of come to the YouTube sphere and come into all of this?
So basically when I was in college, I started getting into modeling and I wanted to do fitness modeling, and I ended up going to New York and I won this Best Abs on the East Coast contest for Men's Health magazine. And then that allowed me to sign with an agency in New York, and I started doing like pull-out posters and small shoots for Men's Health. But you know, male modeling for fitness really isn't that lucrative. You know, like I talk to a lot of guys who are like, oh, I want to go do fitness modeling. And I'm like, yeah, maybe kind of do it on the side. You know what I mean? You're not going to make that much money doing it. And you know, when you fitness model, once they take your photo unless you're a celebrity, you know, they don't want to have the same guys in the magazine all the time. So unless you're like 6'3", you know, and you can do runway and all that stuff, the male modeling scene, you know, it's not like when you watch Zoolander, you know.
I was going to say, not everybody can be Derek Zoolander.
Yeah, not everybody can be Derek Zoolander. But, you know, it was good for me. It gave me some exposure, kind of got me into the scene a little bit. And, you know, when I was doing the photo shoots, it was a lot of exercises. Like even today, you know, like I said, they don't hire a lot of models. You can still buy the 2017 big book of exercises from Men's Health, and it still has all my photos doing all the chest exercises. You know, like it's just always going to be there. And so for me, I learned that, you know, and even in the magazines, whenever they would show exercises, that they would show the starting and ending photo to show you how to do it. And at the time, I was a general manager at a gym in North Attleboro, Massachusetts, called Answers Fitness. And I was trying to find ways to get people to not quit their membership because not everyone could afford a personal trainer. And so that's where the idea of Scott Herman Fitness was born. And at the time, it was just a website where I literally would wait until the gym closed and I would take photos of all the exercises and I would do write-ups so that people could sign up and then go to my website if they needed help understanding the machines. Now that's kind of how it started. And about a year and a half prior to moving to North Attleboro to be a general manager at this gym, I was a personal trainer in a gym that I had been working in since I was 14. And one of my clients had been telling me to make a video to get on The Real World for like 6 months. And she would not leave me alone about it. And I was like, this show's stupid, you know, I don't want to go on that show. And so I finally made a video to kind of shut her up and I mailed it in. You know, I totally forgot that I had even sent it in. And then, you know, here it was like almost a year later, I had got an email about it. And at first I thought it was just like spam. I'm like, what is this? I totally forgot I sent the video in to the show. Like that's how low on the radar it was for me. And then and I ended up, you know, going and responding and going through the interview process, which took another like 4 or 5 months. And then when I had eventually made it on the show, you know, I obviously left the gym I was working in all in good terms. Everyone was very excited for me. And then I made my way to Brooklyn when I was 23 to film The Real World Brooklyn. And the show really taught me a lot about camera presence. You know, like you get a really, really quick crash course on how to be aware of the camera, where it is.
Yeah.
And after The Real World, I moved to New York and I stayed there for about a year. And, you know, what kind of sucked for my whole cast is that our season came out before Twitter. Like, literally, Twitter came out after all our episodes aired. So, like, we couldn't capitalize on any of that kind of social media, yeah. You know. And even back then, like, Facebook fan pages weren't really, like, the coolest thing, you know. And then even YouTube, you know, was just kind of starting. And so I was living in New York for about a year after getting off the show, and I really missed working with people and teaching people fitness. I felt like something was missing in my life. I was pursuing modeling and acting, but I just felt like something was missing. So I started doing videos in my tiny New York apartment. And I actually got contacted by somebody over at Google who had watched my season of Real World. And they brought me in, and they explained to me how you can make a living doing videos. And so I had to make a decision. Did I want to stay in New York and continue to pursue acting and modeling, or was I going to move home and really push this Scott Herman Fitness on YouTube business? And so obviously I ended up moving home and going back to the gym that I had worked at before. And then, like, every night, as soon as the gym would close, I would film videos till, like, yeah, 1 or 2 in the morning. And just upload them as fast as I could on YouTube, which is a lot of the videos that you said you probably send to your clients, or some, yeah, of my original videos, like how to do this, how to do that. You know, my how-to plank video just hit like 10 million views, and it's literally a 2-minute video on how to do a plank. So funny. But, you know, because I was able to kind of master this niche so quickly, it allowed me to get a lot of my videos embedded, you know, all over the internet, which is why the views are always so high and why, you know, they continue to grow over time, because they're actual information based videos as opposed to, you know, vlogs or one offs, yeah, that you're probably not going to watch ever again. And I just kept building it from there, got to the point to where I could do it full time, got my own studio. And now here I am, you know, 2017, over 1.3 million subscribers, my own website, you know, cranking the content out on a weekly basis. It's been great.
So I have a question on content, but I have to ask, how come you haven't done like a vlog style thing? Like, you know, everyone's sort of gone into that, like, show people more of your life, you know, let people know more about who you are. What's sort of prevented you from doing that? Or are you just like, meh, my life's not that cool. Like, I don't know.
Well, I just started actually like 2 weeks ago to do at least one video a week, more vlog style, because I've realized that in the beginning, you know, what people really liked about my videos is they liked to see the actual workouts.
Yeah.
And to me, like, in my head, I always get inside my own head. I'm like, people want information, but it's like sometimes they just want to watch somebody lift for a little motivation too. And it's – I don't want to be a vlogger. Like, I still want – I want to have a balance of information and, like, fun vlogging. I don't want to do just the full vlog stuff, because – one of the things I quickly learned when I was on The Real World is as soon as you become irrelevant, no one really cares, you, yeah, know, and information is always relevant. And so I guess in the beginning, you know, I saw a lot of people vlogging, and then, like, after a year, nobody would care. You know what I mean? Like, how many times can you watch somebody eat a full day of eating? Like, I don't really care how much food you eat. You know what I mean? Like, it all becomes repetitive. Like, not like every week is a deadlift video or a squat video or a bench video. And it's like, okay, this week you benched 300. Next week you benched 302. Like, okay, like, congratulations. And I didn't want people to kind of see that with me. I wanted people to know that when they come to my channel, they're always going to get information. But I think it's going to be better now to start, you know, incorporating a bit more of the lifestyle stuff to help build a better connection with my audience. And so far it's been good. They really enjoyed those videos. But at the same time, you know, it also takes away from doing research, because a lot of the videos I do require research. And so I'm just right now I'm trying to find that balance between having time to research quality videos and then still having enough time. Because, you know, if you're going to vlog, you got to go out. You got to go out and do stuff. You know what I mean?
Right. That's why I haven't done it. I'm like, nobody wants to see me sit here and write all day. Like, no.
Yeah. Like, a lot of the vloggers, if you notice, it's all they do is vlog, because you have to always be out collecting relative content to make your vlogs look cool. But to be honest with you, I think people would enjoy, like, what I've noticed a lot of them do is they most of the vlog is like them just bullshitting around and maybe a tiny bit of workout, where mine is mostly the workout and then a tiny bit of, you know, whatever I'm doing throughout the day. And I feel like people are enjoying that a bit more. because it's a fitness channel. Like, you know, you want to see the fitness, you want to see the workout, you want to see, you know, how to push yourself or learn new exercise ideas. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. When it comes to sort of creating content, you know, this is something I know myself, and I have a lot of friends in the industry who listen to my show, and you know, I have bloggers who listen as well. What do you do when you can't find the inspiration to create content? Do you take a break? Do you read? Play video games? All right, I like it.
No, actually, what really helps me create content is going to the gym. If I ever find myself kind of like stuck, you know, going for a run or just doing something to get the blood flowing, that's usually what starts like my idea factory, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, like just getting to be a bit active, kind of doing my own thing, or even if like going outside and doing a mundane task like mowing the lawn or like something around the house, like cleaning dishes, like just something to just take my mind off of worrying about things. And then usually that helps ideas start to flow into my head of what I want to film next.
Okay. All right. That's usually for me is video games or sit down and read a book, something nerdy, nothing like business wise. Cause then my mind is just going to stay where it is.
Oh yeah. Well, the problem with video games is I'm very competitive. So it's hard to,
it's hard to just chill. You get in and you're like, you want to be the best and win. Yeah.
Yeah. My wife is like, how is this relaxing? I'm like, shut up. I'm playing video games.
mine refuses to be in the house when I play Madden. She's like, no, I like, why do you buy a game that you're going to yell at? I'm like, because this game will not get the best of me. It will not. It will not.
Yeah, exactly. My wife and my stepdaughter, like whenever I'm playing games, if they walk across a TV, they always just seem to go like 10 times slower. And I'm like, get out of the way. What? You see me playing an online shooting game. There are people trying to kill me, and you're just going to block my field of view. Let's go.
So what are you playing right now, Scott?
Right now, Destiny, and then I'm waiting for the new South Park and Zelda to come out. That's what I'm waiting for. March 3rd, Breath of the Wild. I cannot wait.
So excited for that one. I didn't get my pre-order in on the Switch, but I'm hoping the second round of consoles come out so I can get my pre-order down on that because that it looks good.
I pre-ordered it for the Wii U.
Oh, okay, all right.
Because I don't feel like buying the Switch just yet because I play mostly Xbox and I'm only gonna probably play Zelda when it comes out. So like unless another Zelda game comes out or Super Smash Bros. Where I have to buy the Switch, then I'll buy the Switch.
I got you.
You know what I mean?
I like the fact, like, when I go on a business trip, if I'm traveling, like, I can take the Switch with me and still play something, you know, like, not use my phone. Yeah, I could sit at the airport and do work, but if I could play Zelda at the airport, I'm going to play Zelda at the airport.
Oh, my gosh. That would be so cool. Yeah, that is pretty sweet.
So I'm hoping for that and the being able to download the old game. So it'll be like a game, like the old Game Boy games, the old NES and Super Nintendo games you can play on it. So it's like five consoles in one.
Well, it's about time because Nintendo has just been losing money for a while.
Oh, they've been tanking just because they haven't put out the technology that Sony and Microsoft have. This one's got to be the one system that makes them back money and makes them more relevant again. So.
I guess it kind of defeats the purpose of buying that like old school Nintendo mini console if the Switch can hold all those games. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the 90s kids that we are. I mean, I know you were born in 84 and I was born in like 86. So we grew up in the 90s. That nostalgia thing, like all week because of Facebook. Facebook's had that 10 like high school albums that like meant the most to you. I've been going back and listening to those and it's like nostalgia just running through my veins. So there's something about holding a regular Nintendo or Super Nintendo controller in your hand.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Unless you're playing Ghosts and Goblins, I just want to throw the controller to the wall. Or Battletoads, like.
Oh, God. Man. Talk about anger management as a child. Whew.
Dude, level 3 on Battletoads is like impossible when you're friggin' 10.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah. It's like playing games today. I'm like, I don't think kids even understand like how hard it is to only have two buttons that do things. There's no Z targeting. There's no shields. There's no honeycomb shields. There's no special powers. It's either you do or you don't.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's a totally new world in terms of gaming. It's evolved so much. Actually, I was watching Pixels last night while I was doing some work. I love that movie with Adam Sandler when they have video games. And it's just so fun to watch. And like they, you know, I was watching it in the beginning when the arcade first opened. And I remember going to arcades and like the floors, like all like groovy and like colorful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Arcades. God. Things that like two things that you are so antiquated today, like arcades and payphone machines that you had, like quarters were used for those two things really back in the day. Today, what do you use a quarter for? Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even carry change around with me at all. I hate change. I just use my credit card for everything.
Yep. Same. Scott, if you weren't doing fitness, what would you be doing? What's another passion you would pursue?
I don't know. I always kind of wanted to go into the stock market, to be honest. Sometimes I wish I did. You know, I always liked finance and stuff like that growing up when I was younger. And, you know, sometimes I read news articles and I read about all these like, you know, young guys that are making billions of dollars because they invested in like hedge funds or they're, you know, they do all these different things. And I'm like, damn, maybe I should have done that. Could be relaxing on a beach somewhere.
maybe. But, you know, you're helping people improve their lives. There's something you get a little back. You get something more back from that than, you know, a gazillion dollars in a bonus or something, I guess.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. And I really like that. That's what I like most about, you know, YouTube. And that's probably why I'm one of the few YouTubers who actually comment back to people, because I actually enjoy the interaction and enjoy helping people, you know, and guiding them. That's always been my true calling.
Yeah. How have you noticed that change over the years? You know, because YouTube, since you got in the game, like you were one of the first guys to put fitness stuff up. You know, everyone now that is jumping into sort of online coaching and doing personal training online is trying to jump into YouTube or using Snapchat or Instagram. Everyone's trying to use video because video is the big thing. And when Gary Vee says do it, everyone's like, okay, I'm going to do it. Gary Vee says do it. I'm jumping on it. but how have you seen community interaction change, you know, in YouTube or even your own with your website, you know, over the years?
I think that it's a lot harder for people to find genuine community or genuine people who are actually trying to help them. I feel like because YouTube exploded, everyone kind of went to it, and a lot of people, you know, obviously just want to kind of get in, make some money and kind of get out, not really care. Like, unfortunately, a lot of fitness spaces, they're usually selling programs that aren't worth like the paper I wipe my ass with, but they're charging like $500 for it. And it's literally, you know, a sheet with like photos and like the same workout and the same meal plan for everyone, you know? And I feel like the fitness space, especially on YouTube, has kind of been had an influx in both people who want to help and people who just kind of want the attention and money and they want to run. Like, you know, you got people who are posting, I love my fans so much. And then at the expos, they're like telling you to go away because they're busy. You know what I mean? Yeah. As they're doing the post, I love my fans. Fuck off. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's go ahead.
What? Well, I was just going to say, you know, and so I notice a lot of people when they come to my channel and when I meet people in real life, you know, that they're really surprised that, you know, I'm the same person that I am in my videos that I am in real life. And, you know, when they get a comment back or an answer to their question, just by posting in the comment section, I can tell how much more they appreciate it. Like in the beginning, when I first started my videos, it was almost like it was expected. But now it's evolved to the point to where a lot of people come to my channel because they know as long as they get in within the first couple of days of a video getting posted, there's a pretty good chance that I'll be able to get to their comment and help guide them, you know. And obviously I utilize the comment section too to push people to my website where they can get even more information to help try to grow my business. But at the end of the day, it's all because I'm trying to help people, you know, all over the world reach their goals. And the only way you can really do that is by interacting, you know, with these people as best you can.
Okay. It's something that I see a lot of people, you know, as I'm sort of growing into this space and still very new, you know, that's one of the main things I do. I will answer everything that comes in via email, anything that comes up on YouTube, you know, Facebook, because, you know, people want to know that one, you obviously care for them and that shows that you care. And two, you know, it's social media. Like, you're supposed to interact with people and get to know them. Like, you need to build community.
You're supposed to be social, you know, right. That's the whole point.
So while perusing around the site and gathering some questions for the interview, I came across something and I wanted to ask you. You mentioned strength, determination, community, and positivity, you know, as four tenets that are very important to you. Which one of those is the most important?
I would say positivity is the most important because everything else will follow in suit. You know, a lot of people, you know, they beat themselves up too much, you know, and like even on my website with my 12-week challenges that I do, you know, people always ask questions and they're like, oh, I can't lift as much weight as you. I can't, you know, I can't complete the workout in the amount of time given, or, you know what I mean? I can't do this, can't do that. And a lot of the times I'm just responding. I'm like, listen, like, you know, the workouts that I present to you are they're guidelines, you know, like you're basically supposed to do your best and work at your pace and hopefully eventually surpass me. Like, you shouldn't be worried about how much weight you're lifting. You can't walk into a gym and start just kind of holding yourself accountable to be as strong or as fast as other people that are around you. And I feel like a lot of people quit because they go to the gym and they might not be doing as well as some of the people they know, and they think it's because they're not meant to be in shape, you know, and so they kind of just fall off the wagon. I think that's what happens a lot, you know, in January with the New Year's resolutioners that eventually quit is, you know, you get this influx of members in the gym that are seeing all the people who've been dedicated all year round, you know, and eventually they just like, well, I'm not seeing results as fast as so-and-so told me I would see them, so screw it. Do you know what I mean? And that happens a lot too. I do a lot of Skype consultations, and I do it with people like all over the world. You know what I mean? That's the beauty of Skype. And I've been working with this guy for like 3 months, and his trainer before me was like, oh, you know, in like 2 months, you're going to have ripped abs and you're going to look like this, that, and the other thing. But yet he put the guy on a bulking program. You know what I mean? And so it's like, you know, I'm like, dude, you know, you can't beat yourself up that you don't have those ripped abs yet because you were put on a program to bulk and build muscle. Like, that is completely different than being on a program to get your abs to show. And you're not going to see your abs in 3 months, even though you're training really hard, is it because you're not gearing your workouts towards that goal, you know, just stay positive. It's like, and so after having, you know, a few conversations with him and telling him like, hey man, you know, don't get discouraged because you don't see your abs. We got to stay positive and know, we have to know what our goal is. Our goal right now is you want to build lean muscle so that when you eventually lose the fat, all of the fat, you're going to look great. You don't want to lose the fat right now and then be really skinny. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, let's stay in that bulking phase where you're building lean mass. And so positivity definitely is going to help anybody reach their goals, no matter whether it's fitness or anything else in life.
Yeah, dude, I will admit that is the number one reason I quit playing World of Warcraft back in the day, is because everyone else was more advanced than me. And I was like, well, this just isn't fun. Everyone understands the game more than me. Like, I feel so stupid. I don't get this. And I think that's something that happens with everyone in the gym at some point. Sometimes, and then there's those days, you know, there's that time maybe where it just clicks and you say, fuck it, I don't care. I'm just going to learn. I'm going to go. You know, and then it sticks for you. But, you know, a lot of people do sort of look at people and go, oh man, how do I get to where Scott Herman is as a YouTube star? How do I get there? A lot of hard work and patience.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's what it is. And, you know, it's really important that you got people giving you advice. And also too, the trainer, he showed me who the trainer was. He was another, I'm not going to say anybody's name, another online fitness trainer. Clearly wasn't natural, but telling the guy he was, and he's like, this is the diet that I use. And it's like, how can you sit here as a trainer who's on juice and tell somebody that this is the diet that you use to look the way you did, and these are the foods you ate, this is the program you did, when you know, when, like, for a fact that you're just bullshitting to make money, you know? And that's a huge problem too, in this industry is that there's so much bullshit, lies, and deceit that a lot of people end up getting discouraged and quitting the gym because they're looking at people, not even big people, like I would say even like dudes my size or a little bigger that are on low doses of different types of steroids like Tren and Clen and all these different things. And they're like, oh, this is my ab training program, you know, it's like, or this is what I eat. Oh, it doesn't matter. You know, you can eat Pop-Tarts and get ripped. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, there's so much of that going around. And it's hard. It's more hard for me. Like I get really upset when I talk to people and they're like, so-and-so told me that I could do this. And I ended up just getting fat, you know, or I ended up, you know, getting worse results, or I didn't see the results I wanted. I wasted the last month. What should I do? You know, that bothers me. It does. It really bothers me to the core. I don't like being lied to. I'm sure you don't like being lied to. And if you're trying to stay positive to reach your goals and you're just finding out that all these people that you've been looking up to or talking to are feeding you bullshit just to kind of get likes on Instagram, you know, it's really discouraging for a lot of people.
Yeah, no, it is. And I think that's one, you know, thing that a lot of people think that, you know, they think it's impossible to ever achieve these things. And then they do say things like, oh, well, you know, so-and-so, you know, is on steroids or so-and-so is on this. And, you know, I'm sure you've probably had people say that to you or come say those comments on YouTube. And you're like, no, I'm not. I just work really hard. Like that, like I'm not going to feed you bullshit. This is what you have to do.
Oh yeah. Well, it's easy for me. Cause I'm like, dude, like go to my channel and look at my videos over the past 6 years. Like you see a steady progression,
right?
you know what I mean?
There's no 6 months later, Scott's like, whoa.
Yeah. You know, and that was the big thing last year was that whole like shred scam. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where, you know, the photos weren't, it wasn't that the photos were Photoshopped like crazy, but they're also like juiced up, like that Paige Hathaway. She's like, you can get a butt like this, even though it's Photoshopped like to the max. And I'm taking things that I'm not telling you to look the way I do. Like my wife's Brazilian, you know, and she always just laughs when she sees like these 6 month booty transportations where you go from like pancake to bouncy ball. And yeah. She's like, give me a friggin' break. Like that's no, like, that's not going to happen. You know what I mean? It's not genetically possible for the 99% of the population to go from a pancake flat ass to a big, juicy, like huge watermelon ass. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just not going to happen. And especially in 6 months, you know?
Yeah.
And women, you know, I feel like they really want, like, if you really want to have an hourglass body, you see that. You're like, oh, wow, I'll pay $500 for that program. And it's like, do lunges or do like back squats or do this. And it's like the stupidest like routine of how to build a butt. And, you know, it's just I don't want to beat up on it too much, but it's like,
No. I understand.
It's tough because people, you know, when it comes to fitness, there's so much information out there that they're looking for someone to trust, and they want to hope and believe so much because they want to achieve that dream body that the person telling them what to do is being honest, you know, and I think nine times out of 10, it's just not the truth.
I think one of the things, and you know, it's something that, you know, I had one of my clients had, I think in his mind, he thought after like 4 or 5 months, he would have one of those crazy transformations that sometimes you see in men's health. And I explained, I was like, look, every body is different. And your body responds different than that person's body. And your stress level might be a little different than his. So you have all these underlying things that affect it. But look where you are now versus where you were. You're a lot further. And you can get to that point. It just might take a little more time. So just keep going.
Yeah. And I totally agree with you, Robbie. You know, we got to teach people to be more in tune with their own progress versus constantly comparing themselves to everyone else in the gym.
Yeah. How do you do that as a business owner? You know, like other fitness guys that you go and you see at the Arnold or other sort of fitness conventions that you go to that are big names and guys that you look up to. How do you keep that from happening in your own sort of head business wise?
I just never looked up to any. I just looked up to superheroes. you want to be honest, like, I could really give two shits about most of these people unless I've met them and they've been really nice. Like, you know, a lot of the guys on my team, BSN, have been super nice. Like, in fitness, if I get to meet people and they're super nice and they actually interact, then they're on my radar. Like, wow, I want to train hard like that guy. Or, I would love to train with so-and-so because they're super cool. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I actually got to know, Flex Lewis very well, you know, and he's on Team BSN and, you know, he's a real fun guy to hang out with. And I would love to be able to train with him on a regular basis just because he's like probably one of the nicest guys I ever met in the industry, you know, and it's really hard to find that. Growing up when I was a kid, I think like 99% of the population, I looked up to Arnold, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's just a given. And so I think in seventh grade, I did a book report on him, and I learned a lot about his training ethic where, you know, I think it's funny when people compare themselves to Arnold and training like Arnold. I'm like, Arnold used to do squats until he passed out and like puked all over the floor, you know, and then he would wake up and then he would start squatting again. Like, that was the kind of intensity Arnold trained with, you know?
Yeah.
So that I admired, and I always looked up to him for his training ethic. And I was always kind of captivated by how he was able to kind of come in and then come into America in this industry that wasn't popular yet. And then just, you know, do what he did. He became a movie star, governor, like he's been everywhere, done everything. Even in, what is it? Demolition Man, you know, he was the president for a period of time.
Yeah.
You know, so he's done a lot. And so he's one of the few in the actual industry that I looked up to at a young age. But for me, I looked up more to like my superheroes because I thought, well, you know, these dudes look jacked. They looked awesome, which obviously, you know, they're based off of people. So like it's what a body can look like eventually. But I looked up to them more because they were big and jacked and strong to like help people and save people. And I kind of, when I was a kid, I was kind of bullied a lot. And so for me, I was like, I want to get big and strong and beat the crap out of bullies, you know? So like that was more my motivation. It wasn't to have like an aesthetic physique and look really good for magazines and bodybuilding shows. I just wanted to be big and strong so I could beat up bad guys. That was like my mentality. Well,
you know? What superhero did you idolize as a kid?
When I was a kid, I looked up to Superman and Wolverine the most. Those are my favorites.
All right.
I like Superman because I liked how, you know, how good he was. I always thought he had a really awesome physique in terms of like a big broad chest, you know?
Yeah.
And then Wolverine, I always liked him growing up because he would just kick your ass. Like he didn't give a shit. Like I wish I could have been more like him when I was a kid where you talk shit. I just beat the crap out of you and stab you with my, you know, my blades that came out of my hand. You know, I'm sure everybody wishes at one point in their life that could just kind of hold up their hand and pop three blades out, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, no doubt.
Having a bad day. Bam! Leave me alone.
You would feel safe anywhere if you could pop blades out of your hands.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't even have to pop them out. And then when you did, people would just be run.
Yeah. Well, and then if you got punched, you're like, all right, whatever. I'm just going to heal. Fine.
Yeah. 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 There was there used to always be like funny memes, like if Wolverine worked out, you know, that he would get so big and it just says like kill me because he's just so sleek, can't even move, you know, stuff like that is funny.
All right, let's get into a couple of fun questions and then we can I got to get in and we got to talk about the nerd collection that you showed me before we close out. All right, so you are from Massachusetts. I did a little research. You're not far from Boston. And you can hear it in your accent, which I love. The Boston accent is my favorite accent in America. So I got to ask, Matt Damon or Ben Affleck?
Oh man, that's tough. It's tough because I like them both. I think I steer more towards Matt Damon, you know, like I'll always probably watch both of their movies, but I always just kind of felt like I connected more with Matt Damon. But it's a tough question to ask because a lot of movies when I was growing up always had them both in them. So it's like fond memory, like even like Jay and Silent Bob movies, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like you watch those and there's always Matt Damon and Ben Affleck in those movies. I actually just picked up The Accountant, though. I can't wait to watch that.
Ooh, I've heard that one's really good.
Yeah, and that new movie he has coming out, too, where he's like the gangster.
Yeah, yeah.
Really cool. I'm not sure. Like, he does pretty good as Batman. I just don't like the how they make him look, like, so stocky when he's in the suit. Do you know what I'm saying?
He looks huge in the suit. Like, he really does.
Yeah, in the suit, he looks like he's as big as, like, how Ronnie Coleman on stage, you know? Kind of throws me off a little bit. But, yeah, I think definitely more Matt Damon. I think Matt Damon has more movies that I connected with because he did a lot more movies that were like the Bourne series, you know,
yeah,
where
yeah.
you kind of build that relationship with his characters over time, which I actually just bought the 5-movie Blu-ray pack of all of them. Which is funny. It's like, do you watch that YouTube channel Cinema Sins?
No, but so, I'll check it out now.
So this is real quick. So they basically they watch movies and they give the movie a sin for like everything that's like wrong with it, you know. And they really nitpicky. It's really funny to watch. And it doesn't mean they don't like the movie. They just do it obviously for fun, you know.
Right.
And so they were doing the Bourne Ultimatum, which is the third one.
Yeah.
And at the very end of every single video. They tally up all the sins and they give the movie a punishment.
Yeah.
And then so they tally up all the sins for the Bourne Ultimatum and it goes, and your punishment is, and they go, Hawkeye. Yeah. And then you hear, and then I forget his name, but then you hear his voice from probably like another movie where he's like, oh, come on, man. That's Isn't that awesome. Hilarious?
That's hilarious. That's an awesome sin to give him.
Yeah. So, right. And for the listeners, what that basically means is because the fourth Bourne movie had the guy who plays Hawkeye in it from Avengers.
Jeremy Renner. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I'm
horrible with names, but I can tell you everything that happens in every movie I've ever watched.
Or Renner or Rainier. I've heard it pronounced both ways. Yeah. It's always weird when they redo like a Bourne movie or even when they did.
I enjoyed it, though. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. But even when they did the ones that Harrison Ford used to be in, Patriot Games, and I can't remember the name of the character, but they did it with Ben Affleck, and it was just like, oh, it's someone else playing this character. It'd be like someone coming in to play Princess Leia. It just wouldn't feel.
I saw a meme yesterday about Princess Leia that I thought was pretty badass. It said something like, it had a photo of Princess Leia, and it said, like, lost her whole family. Family killed, planet exploded, brother ditched her, like, and yeah. all this bad shit that happened to her throughout the movies, and then it says, still didn't turn to the dark side.
Yeah.
It's like you Skywalker boys are bitches.
I'm gonna have to see if I can find that meme.
Scott, so funny.
What store would you max your credit card out at?
That's a good question. Would I max my? I know where my wife would max my credit card out. Man, where would I max my credit card out at? Let's see. You know, the most logical place, if you could spend it, would be like buying scratch tickets. That would be nice.
All right. I mean, why not? Max it out. Just be like, well, I've got a bigger chance than everyone else.
Well, that's the trick to scratch tickets is you buy the book.
Yeah.
Because when you buy a book, you're guaranteed to always win at least half your money back. My brother worked at a gas station for like 8 years from like when he was a teenager, like through school and stuff. And this woman would buy – she probably spent like $30,000 like buying books of scratch tickets and everyone used to give her shit. And then she won like $10,000 and it's like – yeah, you know, what's $30,000 compared to $10,000? You know what I mean?
True. But then it could also be, you know, $400,000 that she spent and never made anything back. There's always that chance.
Oh, yeah. Go big or go home, man. I mean, I'm sure she had some big winners within that $30,000 of like buying books of $10 tickets. Oh, but
of course.
Oh, dude, if I could buy like I love who doesn't love scratching scratch tickets? Like, yeah. It's so exciting.
Yeah. Scott, where would you go in a time machine? If you go anywhere in a time machine, where would you go?
Oh, I would go to like the Renaissance period. That would be where I'd want to go for a few different reasons. Number one, I would love to kind of see that environment of like swords and shields and castles. Granted, like, you know, being really cold and having to poop in a hole and all that stuff. You know? Like, you watch Lord of the Rings, you know, like, this is so cool. And then you think of like the other things that are a part of life that would suck.
Yeah.
But you know what? That time period, I think, it would be kind of cool for probably like a few months just to get away from like just people in society in general who just like back then you didn't talk shit because you either had to like take 10 paces and get shot or you got like your throat slit by a sword. So I feel like going back to that time period where people actually had more honor and like respect because they didn't want to die, I think it would be nice. Like, it'd be nice to get away from like all the cyber trolls and everything else, you know, like for always being online and always dealing with so much, you know, really good comments and then all of the trolls and dealing with social media, go back to a time that doesn't exist and people are afraid to be mean. Like, that would be awesome.
I'm with you on that. I can't imagine too many people would open their mouths to be douchebags if they were like, oh, right, this guy could challenge me to a duel and shoot me. Let me think twice about the words I say.
Yeah, like, I just watched that movie, The Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one?
The new one or the old one?
The new one with Chris Pratt and Denzel.
I have not seen the new one, only because I'll be a little bit of a film snob. And I'm like, no, we can't redo a movie that was already good, that was already based off a Japanese movie that was even better.
It was really good. But there's this one scene where Chris Pratt is trying to buy his horse back. And he's talking to the guy. And then he's like bartering and kind of arguing with the guy. But he's just, you know, he's being chill. And then the guy's like, I said, it's not for sale. And the guy put his hand on his gun.
Yeah.
And then Chris Pratt's like, ooh, I really wish you didn't just put your hand in your gun. I'm going to have to kill you now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just didn't start flashing your gun and not expect to get shot.
Right. Yeah. All right. So had some fun with the fun questions. Now back to a little more sort of business and sort of personal and development sort of things. One of the big things I've learned from Craig Ballantyne when I had him on the show and I started instituting these ideas, and it's really helped me over the last like 8 months, is creating rules or guidelines for scheduling out my day, you know, and protecting the time that is most important to me, which is creating content, writing, you know, helping clients and whatnot. Do you have rules or guidelines for your life that you follow every day?
Yeah. And it's, you're totally right. You have to schedule your time or else everything just kind of gets piled into one big blob. And that actually can, you know, for me in the past, that used to be a real big source of stress. Yeah. So I would not plan the day out. And then it would feel like you're always running behind, you know, and that can destroy you. And that's the biggest obstacle for running your own business. A lot of people like, oh, you're so lucky you work from home. And I'm like, my home does not feel like home sometimes. It feels like can never escape my work, you know. Yeah. And even with my wife, you know, I used to always work at night because that's when my IT team would be on. And I've had to really dial that back because I would be up to like 2 or 3 in the morning trying to get things done on the website, you know, during the building phase. And constantly checking things and doing things. And my wife was like, I'm tired of going to bed by myself, you know, happy wife, happy life. So I've had to kind of restructure that. But yeah, like I really make sure that I schedule out my day. I have a planner and I, even on my planner is like pencil, you know, like just take away the technology and plan it out and see it, put the schedule kind of on my desk. Like, this is what I need to do in order to reach my goal of what I'm trying to do. And even like in terms of waking up in the morning, like, you know, when you work from home, you wake up, I feel kind of tired. Let me just go back to bed. Fuck it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like you have some place to be, you know what I mean? So
right. You
have to really schedule things out so that mentally, you know, well, if I don't get up now, then I'm not going to be able to do this. And then my workout is going to be pushed till later. Then my wife is going to kick my ass when I come home late from the gym. It's like, gotta get the priorities straight, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I one of the rules for my life is I leave no phones in the bedroom. The bedroom is for two things, sleeping and fucking. That's it. Like,
there's
no cell phones, no electronics, no TV, because I don't want that distraction to keep me in bed. So when my phone goes off at 5, I have to get up and go into the kitchen to turn it off. And I might as well stay up because now I'm up.
Oh, that's a good idea. I might try putting my phone in like the other room. Although I'll probably sleep through it if it's that far away. So I wake up sometimes, you know, if I have like a long day or I've been working really hard and I like my alarm went off for like an hour. I just did not wake up. You know?
Oh, dude, I know there are days where that happens. Days where it happens. My wife could sleep through a hurricane. Like, could come through, wouldn't even know, would wake up, destruction would be all around us, and she'd be like, what happened?
She's like across the street, like in a tree. She's like, oh, wow.
She wakes up in a tree, wouldn't notice. So, Scott, before we get on, I want to wind down and talk about some more awesome geek stuff, because that is my audience. They do enjoy fitness, but they're also giant nerds as well. And you showed me your awesome collection
Everything.
Dragon Ball Z stuff. Yeah, of everything. Dragon Ball Z. Right now, there's Captain America and Wolverine on the behind us. And you've got your huge movie collection. And you've got all your Dragon Ball Z stuff. Is there anything missing from your collection that you're just, like, itching to get?
Up until about a month ago, I was missing the Planet Aurelia Funko Pop. It was like people selling it for like $1,500 on eBay because it's so rare. And I managed to score it for like $800, which is still a lot of money for a stupid friggin' Funko Pop. But it's like, it was like the bane of my existence. I'd look at my collection of all 29 and then I'm like, I need Planet Aurelia Vegeta. What the hell? So that was missing. That was bothering me for a while, actually. But when I finally got them, I was happy. And then these statues back here, these are Super Saiyan 5, Goku, Broly, and Vegeta. And then this one is a Super Saiyan 6 Vegeta statue, which when I ordered them from Japan, I got these like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
He was supposed to send me Super Saiyan 5 Vegeta, but he sent me that one by accident. And it's like $50 to ship. And at the time, they only cost like $60 a piece.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I'll just buy another one, you know, just send me that one and I'll just pay it instead of paying $50 or ship it back. And so I went online. This statue that I got basically for $50, because the guy messed up, is worth like $700 now.
Jesus.
And all the other ones are like $500. I'm like, I paid $50 for these. And I just got a Super Saiyan 5 Trunks to match that just came out. So he's going to go over here. I'm going to move Vegeta down. I didn't even show you. I got a Captain America shield signed by Stan Lee in my closet over there, like a really big one. I just completed. I collect all the Zelda amiibos. So I just got the new set that came out. There's like I'm going to show you. This is cool. Have you seen the new Zelda amiibos?
I've seen a couple of them just going to Walmart and sort of walking around. I still have a ton of Star Wars action figures, from the 90s that I have to collect, which now again sell, like I could have bought them for $4 as a kid. They're like $37, $38, $50 on like eBay.
Well, they just started releasing all the original Ninja Turtle toys again at Toys R Us.
Yeah, because the originals are worth it. This generation of kids is not good enough. You're not good enough, children, for the turtles. No.
No, you're not. I still have. I have every single Ninja Turtle. I still have them at my mom's.
Oh, dude, I sold them to gave them to my best friend's little brother when I was a kid, because my mom was like, well, you know, you don't play with these things anymore. It was the saddest day of my life to have to give that stuff away.
Yeah, I would. My mom knows better. So check it out. So this is one wave.
Oh, those are sick,
right? So the 8-bit one just came out. Looks cool, right?
I'm all right, that's it. I'm gonna have to go buy these.
Yeah, when I saw this one, he looks kind of weird.
Yeah,
he looks like Pinocchio, but like, yeah. How cool is that, you know?
Yeah, but that's the original Link. That's actually, yeah, that's the first one.
And then these ones just came out too. So you got like an Ocarina of Time.
Ocarina, yeah.
And then
I just fired that up again the other day.
This is the first Toon Link that came out.
Toon Link, yeah.
And then they just released two more from the Wind Waker series. So they got you got Link with the wand, and then you got Zelda. So pretty sweet stuff.
That's the that is the one Zelda game I never got to play because I never had a GameCube, and I just watched my friends play it. So that is one of the ones where I'm like, awesome. The Switch is going to be able to play GameCube games. I'm going to download Wind Waker and play it on the Switch.
Dude, Wind Waker was a lot of fun. I actually really enjoyed it, but I'm like, I can't not search every cubic square inch of a game when I play Zelda. So I like would go up and down every single, like the world, all the ocean was like separated into like blocks, you know, on your map. And I literally went up and down like every square inch trying to find treasure chests. Like I wasted so much time doing that, but I got them all.
There you go. There you go. You know, it's like trying to get all those gold scultillas in Ocarina. You're going to venture around and spend hours and hours just trying to get a purse that can carry more money.
Yeah, I got my Ocarina completion time down to like 8 hours at one point.
Have you ever seen the dudes who play like all the Zeldas with three hearts, the three heart challenge? Like they play through it and never like that's all they have.
Are you serious?
Yes. It's the craziest shit to watch on YouTube. Like guys play it with only three hearts. And I'm like, I don't know how, like you must have memorized and just know the patterns like the back of your hand.
I'm going to get this shit ready to go as soon as we hang up.
Dude,
it's, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time Three Heart Challenge, Episode 1. No, I think it's a lot easier to not die in the newer games. I want to see somebody like Zelda 1, you know, Three Heart Challenge.
Yeah, no, I agree. Newer games have become far too easy. Far, far, far too easy in more ways than one. Scott, I've enjoyed getting the nerd out with you and talk with you about starting a YouTube channel, things you do to stay focused in business and in life. If people want to know more about you, obviously they can go to YouTube and find you at Scott Herman Fitness. But where else can they find you, your website, or any other social media that you're on?
Yeah, join me everywhere is Scott Herman Fitness. And my website is MuscularStrength.com. But if you go to ScottHermanFitness.com, it'll still pull it up. If you guys are looking for, you know, help, you know, I like to really build a community. My website, MuscularStrength.com, is literally like the fitness version of Facebook. We have forums. You can make a profile. You can make friends with people. And if you want a 12-week program, I have three to choose from on my website. One's a push-pull legs program that focuses on building muscle and strength. There's a five-day split program, which the main focus is muscle building. And then the new program I just released this year for this year's challenge is all home-based real-time workouts with me. You literally just press play, and I kick your butt for 20 minutes at a time. You're going to really like it.
Dude, that's awesome. At home is where I have like three or four clients that just work out at home. That's it. With a couple of dumbbells they have and just their body weight. That's
awesome. Oh, yeah. All you need is like one pair of dumbbells for my home workouts just to have a little resistance on some exercises, like literally a pair of 10s and you're done.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Scott, thank you so much for coming on the show. And guys, I'll have all this as well at the show notes, sidequestfitness.com/podcast. And I will have all the show notes for everything we talked about, links to all of the YouTube and social media as well. Scott, thank you again.
All right. Thanks for having me. Step up and you gotta get it fitness. Host Rob at the moment and the quest is you gotta check it and wreck it. You're breaking personal records and with the help of the guests, you won't be guessing on the lessons. That's a plus five fierce. Got a low key Banff right here. You wanna meet him, there's no better way to greet him than to strike a boss pose. Take a look into the mirror.